Okay. All right, we're going to get back to our study. Let's see where we're at. Okay, we're looking at the words of creation, and we're looking at the earth last time we were looking at the study. I don't remember whether it was at Sunday or last Thursday. But in any event, we're going to continue to look some more at the word earth. As I'd mentioned in the earlier study, if we don't understand the figurative language, the parables, God gives us earthly stories in order to explain spiritual things. If we don't understand the figurative language, of course we're not going to understand the Bible. And particularly the book of Revelation is a book that is a prophetic book. It is a book that's completely a parable. And so we need to compare scripture with scripture. We need to look at these words. We need to understand the spiritual meaning of earth. We need to understand the spiritual meaning of the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the rain, the water, etc. So let's continue to look at the word earth. I'd like to look at the word earth in the book of Revelation, and then maybe look at the earthquakes. we read about the earthquakes, particularly at the end of the world. But in the book of Revelation, we see in chapter 1, verse 4, we read, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced them, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Later on in the book of Revelation, we will see that when we get back into the different chapters for our study, we'll see that there is a bewailing, and God is speaking of all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. But going back a couple of verses here into verse 5, Revelation verse 5, we read, Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead. And it says, and the prince of the kings. Now we are the kings, and he is the prince of kings. He is the king of kings. And here it says he is the prince of the kings of the earth. And we are not the kings of the earth. If we have any ruling, we rule with Christ, because we are seated with him in heavenly places. And the Lord refers to us as a priestly people, a kingly people. He refers to the fact that we are kings in a kingdom. And we ruled in the corporate body. And ultimately, of course, it wasn't us who was ruling. It was Christ ruling through us in the corporate body. But nevertheless, during the church age, when a church was true to the Word of God and the gospel, the true gospel was going forward through a particular church here or a church there, then the body of Christ was ruling with Christ with a rod of iron. The unsaved in the church were ruled by the rod of iron. And, of course, the body of Christ responded and is made to will and to do of his good pleasure. But nevertheless, we have the earth or the church or the corporate body that is under the rule of Christ through the rod, through the word, through the preaching and teaching of the word, but particularly still under the law. So let's look at this verse 5 again. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. In Revelation chapter 3, we read in verse 9, Behold, I will make them of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And here is the judgment, the trying, which is the judgment upon the earth, which begins in the house of God. And so the hour of temptation is a point in time. It is something, this is the end of the world. The Great Tribulation is what is in view here. The hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. And God uses this phrase, all the world, I think, to tell us that this is a universal thing. All of the churches, all of the corporate bodies will become apostate, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And of course, this is judgment, to judge them, to try them, and they will fail in the trying, because they will not respond, and therefore judgment will be upon them. And again, this is a picture of the hour, a time period at the end of the world, that is in view. Let me see. Let's look at this verse one more time, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell within the corporate bodies, within the churches, to try them that dwell upon the earth. In Revelation chapter 7, we read in verse 1, and after these things I saw four messengers standing in the four corners of the earth. And the idea of four gives us the picture of universality. And it says that they're holding the four winds of the earth. And we're going to look at winds, and winds ultimately gives us the picture of one of two things. It identifies with the winds of false doctrines, or it identifies with the wind, which identifies with the Holy Spirit. And of course, in this case, it is judgment. These are four messengers of judgment. And it tells us that these two, four messengers are bound in the great river Euphrates. And Satan is bound, and the great river Euphrates identifies with the gospel. And so these four messengers identify with the kingdom of Satan. And God continues to restrain them. Even though this is at a point in time when judgment has already began in the house of the Lord, in the house of God, and Satan had already been released, but now it comes a time when he removes the candlestick, and at the time of the candlestick, then it is pure darkness. Now, of course, there was darkness prior to that, because when Satan is loosed, God speaks of a spiritual picture of the sun being darkened, the moon, the stars, the air, the place of conversation. But nevertheless, the body of Christ still dwelt in the church for a time period, even though it was dead and there was darkness in the land. But now at this point, when he removes the candlestick, he removes the body of Christ, and that is the same time period when these four messengers, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, is now loosed. So let's look at these verses again. And after these things I saw the four messengers standing on the four corners of the earth, universal, all churches, holding the four winds, the winds of judgment, the winds of false doctrines of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another messenger ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. So there is a time period when, of course, this is loosed, and we're not going to get into the particular time period, but it is identified as we put the language together. We discover that it identifies with the removing of the candlestick, the second woe. But again, we're looking at the word earth here in Revelation, so the earth, the figurative language of the church, corporate body. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven messengers which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another messenger came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the messenger's or the angel's hand. And the messenger took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven messengers which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first messenger sounded, and there followed hail mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt. So here we see that the judgment is coming upon the earth. The first messenger sounded, and there followed hail, which is a picture of judgment, and fire mingled with blood. All three words here is a picture of judgment. Hail is judgment, fire is judgment, blood is judgment. And we know that judgment begins at in the house of God. Followed hail, mingled with hail and fire, and mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, upon the corporate body, upon the church, the place where judgment has begun. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass were burnt up. And now we're going to see that we're going to look at the word grass later on, and so we're not going to get too deep into this, but just to give a little bit of a view on this, the Bible tells us that all grass is flesh. It identifies with mankind. You know, when they were in the desert place and the Lord was to feed them the fish and a few loaves of bread, the Lord had them to sit down in groups, and they sat on grass. In the middle of the desert, there was grass, and they sat on grass. To sit is to rule, and all grass is flesh. And here is the picture of the body of Christ breaking bread and eating the fish and the bread, and yet they were ruling over the peoples of the church. That's what's in view with the word grass, I believe. But again, we're going to look at that later on. But I just wanted to give an overview so we can better understand this picture of judgment by way of the language of hail, fire, hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass were burnt up. Now, the third part of the trees is identified with the unsaved in the church, in this case, I think. We do know that the body of Christ is identified as a third, and we know that the unsaved, the kingdom of Satan, ultimately the number of man, is 666, which identifies with two-thirds. And but there are places in the Bible where we see these two-thirds are broken up, and we see God breaks these thirds up into three-thirds. And ultimately, the picture that we build when we look at these thirds is we see one-third represents the world, one-third represents the world outside of the church, the other third, one-third represents the unsaved in the church, and then one-third represents the body of Christ in the corporate body. And now, of course, we're at a time when the body of Christ is out of the church. But nevertheless, that was the picture that we see concerning the thirds. And so here, a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. We do know also that grass could identify with food for grazing, for instance. And we'll see a picture, for instance, of animals grazing along the mountain side. But we'll look at that when we get to it. Revelation 8, jumping up into verse 13, and I beheld and heard a messenger fly to the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three messengers which are yet to sound." And those are the last three trumpets. That's trumpet number 5, trumpet number 6, and trumpet number 7. And God is giving a woe to each one of those. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And, of course, the inhabitants of the earth is identifying with the corporate body, because the Lord goes on to say, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three messengers which are yet to sound. You know, the world outside of the corporate body is not being affected by this at this point. They're not seeing the judgment. They're not under the judgment of God. All unsaved men, of course, are under the judgment of God. But nevertheless, this is a time period when God has come to begin judgment, and judgment begins in the house of God. And here, the inhabitants of the earth, there is great woe upon them by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three messengers which are yet to sound. And in Revelation 9, next chapter, verse 1, and the fifth messenger sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. We've looked at this language before. We know that the star is Christ. He is the day star. And this falling identifies with the falling of judgment. This is a picture. As a matter of fact, it's the very same word. I think it's the word pipto, if I recall. Is it that? Let me open up my concordance here. Hang on a minute. Okay, yes, it's the word pipto. And this is the very same word that God uses concerning Christ, the rock, falling upon others and crushing them to powder. Picture of judgment. And so that's what's in view here in Revelation 9:1. The fifth messenger sounded. This is the first woe, fifth trumpet. And I saw a star, Christ is the morning star, fall from heaven, fall in judgment from heaven. Ultimately, heaven is in the body of Christ, because that's where Christ is. That's the picture of where heaven is in this world. God gives us that picture that the kingdom of heaven is within us. The Lord is within our hearts, dwells within us, and we are seated with him there in heavenly places. So it identifies him coming in judgment from heaven. I think this picture is coming up from Christ himself through the mouth of the body of Christ, declaring judgment has come, and declaring that the judgment has begun, and it begins in the house of God, and has made it declaring to come out of her, my people. And of course, this is God bringing this message, but he brings it through the body of Christ, and so we see this picture here. He's falling from heaven onto the earth, and the earth is the corporate body. And so he's falling in judgment upon them, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, verse 2, Revelation 9, verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now it's interesting, Satan is in a pit, and the pit is found where? In the earth. We also get the same picture with these four messengers, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And when we bring scripture together, we see that these four messengers are loose when the great river Euphrates is dried up. And so it's in the riverbed that these four messengers are bound. And the river identifies with the river of life. The great river Euphrates identifies with the word of God. And here is a picture of Satan being bound, the messengers of Satan being bound by this great river Euphrates. Now, in Revelation 9, the fifth messenger is identifying with Satan being loosed out of the bottomless pit. And of course, he makes war with the saints, the Bible tells us, when we put this all together. And he overtakes them, and the two witnesses are killed, and their dead bodies, the corporate church, layeth in the streets, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, even where our Lord was crucified, identifies with the dead churches in Sodom and Egypt, which, again, is a picture of the corporate body. This is a... we see the dead bodies as a picture of the corporate churches. But the body of Christ continues to dwell within the corporate church for a time period, and God gives a spiritual picture of three and a half days, I think it is. And then the spirit of life, or the Pumanazo, enters back into them, and they stand upon their feet. And to stand is to declare the word of God, to declare the truth, and the body of Christ is standing, declaring the word of truth as they depart out of the church. So... here at this point, at that point, declaring to come out of her, my people, that is where this other picture comes in, where great river Euphrates is dried up, it is totally removed, and the four messengers are now loose, the four winds. And again, we have to put a lot of scripture together to see this picture. I think we've looked at this before, we will cover this as we look into these verses in Revelation, line upon line. But again, returning back to the word earth, which is what we're looking at in Revelation, the inhabitants of the earth, and there came out of the smoke, well, let's go back to verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened. The sun is the light of the gospel. It's darkened. The air is the place of conversation, totally darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth in the corporate churches. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And that brings us, I think, to the one-third in the churches. But the picture that the grass, the green things are not hurt, and the trees, which identify with man, but I think in this case it identifies with other peoples in the corporate body, and we know that later on the Bible speaks of some who respond during the great earthquake, and a remnant were frightened. I think that's in Revelation 14, maybe 7, 6 and 7. Let's go take a look. I think it is. Take a look at that scripture. Revelation chapter 16. No, it's not 16. Oh, 14. What am I saying? 16. 14. Revelation 14, and I believe we're in verse 7 where it speaks of this language. Let's read in verse 6. And I saw another messenger fly in the midst of heaven. That's the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another messenger saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she hath made all the nations of the drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. I'm going to stop there, but the focus I think I was trying to get to was fear God, give glory to him, for his hour, for the hour of judgment has come. Now, let me see if I can find another verse to tie into this. Revelation 11, verse 13, speaking about the same hour. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake. We're going to see that this great earthquake is tied in to the depart out, the sixth trumpet. That's when the great earthquake takes place. And so there was the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to God. And that was the commandment we just read about in Revelation 14:7. Fear God and give glory to him. That's the commandment that the corporate body refuses to respond to. The fear of God and giving glory to him. To give glory to God is to be humble and to preach his word unadulterated, we're not adding or taking away, and bending the knee to, and believing, and so on. But false prophets, of course, they take the word and they say, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it. So this is a response. The remnant were frightened and gave glory to God. They responded. So I think that ties into this picture here in Revelation 9:4, where we read, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And Revelation 9 here is speaking of the fifth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is a few years later, of course, as we've discovered. Revelation 11. Let's read that from verse 1. And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod. And the messenger stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And we know that the reed like unto a rod identifies with the word of God. And the temple is measured by God's word, the Bible. And the temple is the body of Christ. So measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, and the court identifies with the corporate church, the place where we enter in with praise and thanksgiving. The court, which is without the temple, leave it out. It's not part of the body of Christ. Leave that out. Don't measure it. Measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And we know that the holy city is given unto the Gentiles that is trodden underfoot, as we read. And the holy city was tread underfoot 42 months. It was at 3.5 again. And it was given, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 2,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And of course, these two olive trees and two candlesticks is a picture of the body of Christ. It's the two witnesses. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And the prophets that's in view here, which is the two witnesses, is the body of Christ, and it's just speaking about the judgment coming out of the mouth of the prophet, and of course it's upon the corporate body. The judgment has come, and the hour of judgment has come, and that's where the focus is here. To smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And to turn the waters into blood is the waters identify with the word of God, and blood identifies with judgment. And the only gospel they're going to hear is the gospel of judgment upon them, because they refuse to bend the knee. They refuse to be obedient, and they refuse to give glory to Him. Let's jump up to verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth, again, is a picture of the corporate church, shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt in the corporate churches. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the corporate bodies, or to the earth, to the churches, and to the sea, that's to the world. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the corporate body, into the church, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And so the assault of Satan is upon the church. It always has been. We see this in the days of Paul, how Satan has overtaken here and there, and how God has left the church here by the wayside and there, and that even all of the seven churches that were written about, which is figurative of the perfection of what God has in view in all of the corporate bodies and all of the churches, the corporate churches throughout the world and throughout time. But those seven churches also are no longer to be found. They too have gone apostate. So Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Satan has always been there, always assaulting the high places. And that's why God says that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, even though the gates of hell was right there, right beside the body of Christ constantly. It will not prevail. He will still build his church. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for times and a half from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. That's a flood of false doctrine. Cast out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, after the body of Christ, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood of false doctrine. And the earth, the corporate body, helped the woman. And the earth, the corporate body, opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood of false doctrines, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So again, we see the harmony throughout the whole book of Revelation as the earth identifying with a picture of the corporate church. And unless we understand that and come to an understanding of that these words all have a spiritual meaning, the words of creation and actually all the words, then we can't come to an understanding of the book of Revelation. We can't come to an understanding of many things in the Bible. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him to over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All they who are in the corporate body shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld, and another beast came up from the out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And that's a picture of Satan. And that's a picture of him coming up out of the bottomless pit. We read about that. We just read about that in Revelation chapter 9. So here he comes up out of the earth, identifying the pit with the earth, and he is bound in the earth. He is bound by the word of God. But now he's being loosed, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, or out of the corporate body, and he had two horns. He identifies with the church. He has power. The word two identifies with the church, particularly in this case the corporate body, which is he is to take a seat in. And the fact that he has horns identifies with the fact that he has some power, particularly power by using scripture, because it says here, he had two horns like a lamb, like a lamb. He's another Jesus, and he spake as a dragon. God is identifying the fact that out of his mouth is coming the Bible, the word of God, but twisted, another gospel, leading people astray, saying, Thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it, and using scriptures to do it. Just like we see the picture of the harlot in Revelation 17 and in 18, particularly 17, how she is adorned with all these precious pearls and stones. It all identifies with the saints, with the believers, and with the word of God, the precious stones, the precious pearls. And she uses that to allure men after herself. She has used the precious stones and the pearls throughout the church age lead men to become denominated instead of to become Christians, and instead of to become the children of God. She leads them after herself to become the children of hell. And again, that's the battle. That's constant. That's the gates of hell coming out of the false prophet, out of the churches. That's where you find false prophets, in the churches. And again, that's the way it's been for 2,000 years. But God has restrained them, and God speaks of a time when he will remove his hand of restraint, and that, of course, is during the time period of the Great Tribulation. let's see where I was. Given to make war. We'll pick up back after verse 7 again. Revelation 13. Let's go back to 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto them, unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, and of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first, worshipped the first beast whose head deadly wound was healed. And where are they worshipping Satan? Where are they worshipping the first beast? How does God put it here? Let me read that again. to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And of course that's Satan. Where are they worshipping Satan? Thinking that they're worshipping God. And that is the church. We read about the abomination of desolation as spoken by the prophet Daniel. With the fleeing to the mountains, when we see that abomination of desolation, and that's when Satan takes his seat and is worshipped as God, showing himself that he is God. And here God is identifying that with the time period, right here in Revelation 13, and identifying it with the earth. That time period is identifying with the word earth, which is the corporate church. Let's read that, verse 11 again. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein, wherein the earth, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know, we read, I think it's in Revelation 19, where we read about God making this great supper feast, and he calls all the fowls to come for this great supper. Let me see if I can find that verse. I think it's in Revelation 19. Yes, Revelation 19, verse 17. And I saw a messenger or an angel standing in the sun. This is Christ himself, because he is the one that is the light of the gospel. He is standing in the light. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. Okay, to fly in the midst of heaven is among the heavens, is a picture of the place where the rain comes down, a place where the gospel is preached, where the dew and the rain comes down from the clouds and the heavens onto the earth, picture of the gospel going forward. And here is a picture of the fowls flying in the midst of heavens. Come and gather yourself together onto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them. And the idea that it's eaten of the flesh, it identifies with a carnal mind. It identifies to play upon their fleshly needs, their fleshly desires, which is a carnal focus here. And so Satan feasts upon the flesh, as people sin in the flesh. That's the picture that's here, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them. Horses, of course, identify with the corporate churches. The mighty men that sit on them is a picture of those who are leading those, ultimately, the false prophets, those who are leading the horses. The flesh of kings, the kings of the earth in this case, now the church has become under the dominion of Satan now, and so there are kings who are ruling in that church, no longer the kings of the King of Kings, as we read in the beginning part of Revelation chapter 1. Now these are the kings of the earth that are part of the body the corporate part of the kingdom of Satan. And them, all them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And so here we see God calling for a great supper. He's calling for the fowls of the air to come and to feast for this great supper. And so he is bringing in the judgment, and he is calling in the false prophet. They prefer the lie. He sends strong delusion. He sends the false prophet to them. This is further built upon when we read, I think it's in Matthew 24, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The carcass is the dead bodies we read about in Revelation 11, corporate church. It's a dead body. It doesn't have life anymore. It's time for the fowls to come down and to eat off its flesh. Where the carcass is, that's where the eagles will be gathered together. An eagle is an unclean bird. It identifies with the fowls. It identifies with a false prophet. And so, when we go back here to Revelation 13, let's see what verse we were in. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders. This is Satan, through the false prophets, doing great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men. And you know, this fire coming down from heaven, this is the heavens above have become as iron, the Bible tells us, during this time period. Anyone looks into the land, there is darkness. And so these people are being fed by that which is coming down from heaven. And what is coming down from heaven is fire. It is judgment. God has sent the false prophet as judgment. He has loosed Satan himself upon the corporate church as judgment. And that's what I think the picture of this calling down fire from heaven is in view. Now we do see in a in another way where those people will go out there and make these people fall down backwards, and they say that this is calling down fire from heaven. They don't even understand what they're saying because they are calling down judgment upon themselves, adding to God's word and leading men after themselves and instead of leading them to Christ, because that's exactly what these people are doing. So let's see what verse we're in here. 13 again. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth, on the corporate churches, in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth or in the corporate bodies by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, in the sight of Satan ultimately, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So those people that dwell on the earth or in the churches, they make the image to the beast. They worship another Jesus, follow after another gospel. Revelation 14:14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, and that cloud is the body of believers, the body of Christ. And upon the body of believers, upon that cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man. Christ is sitting on the cloud, ruling the body of Christ. That's the picture that we have here. Having on his head a golden crown. He is a king, ruling. And in his hand a sharp sickle. And it's a time of reaping. And another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And of course, again, this earth identifies with the corporate church. It is time, it is ripe now. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. The church was reaped. He's separating, another picture of separating the wheat from the tares, which is another way God has given us this picture of reaping the earth. And another messenger came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another messenger out from the altar, which had power over fire, judgment, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, and her grapes, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the messenger thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth. Now, who is the vine? The vine is Christ. But here, this is another vine. This is a rotten vine. There's a different vine in the earth now. You know, he is the vine, and we are the branches. But now this is another vine. So he gathers the vine of the earth and casts them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. It is another Jesus that is being cast into this winepress. A picture of, go through the winepress is a picture of judgment, because as we read in the next, well, let's look at this. And cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even onto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This blood coming out is the picture of the judgment that is being placed upon them, upon this corporate body, upon this the false prophets and Satan. And it says here the winepress was trodden without the city. And I think this city is here is identifying... yeah, you can. I think this city is identified with the body of Christ. It's apart from the body of Christ. There is judgment upon it, and so judgment is being reaped here. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven messengers, "Go your ways and pour out of the vials of your wrath of God upon the earth." Again, the corporate church. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the church, the corporate body, the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And where they worship his image, but in the corporate body. Jump up to verse 13, Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This is a picture of a false gospel coming out of the mouth of the false prophet, the beast, and the dragon, which is Satan. And he's identifying them as like frogs, three unclean spirits like frogs. Another Jesus, another gospel, another father, Satan, another spirit, an unholy spirit, but claiming to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Bible. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, universal, to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. Chapter 17, verse 2, Revelation chapter 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, again, constantly the church, the kings of the corporate body have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the corporate body have been made to drink with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. She is alluring men after herself, and not leading them on to Christ. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the corporate church, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the messenger, the angel, said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast and that carrieth her, which had the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And they're beholding another Jesus, they're beholding another gospel, they're wondering who's saved and who isn't saved. That's what's being wondered, and this is taking place, of course, in the corporate church. Them that dwell in the corporate church or on the earth, those are the people that shall wonder. outside of the church, the people couldn't care less. They're not interested at all. Revelation 17, verse 18, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Revelation 18, verse 1, "And after these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, because he's bringing judgment. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich with the abundances of her delicacies." Now, this picture here of having great power and the earth was lightened with his glory, that harmonizes with the idea of the body of Christ again standing on their feet and declaring the truth as they depart out. And so the glory of God is revealed, and that is what is in view here in Revelation 18, that the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, they may not recognize it as anything good, and they see light for darkness and darkness for light and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But the body of Christ recognizes the light of his glory and the light of his gospel. And they, of course, respond to it. Let me reread verse 3 again. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundances of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto the heavens, and God hath remembered her iniquity." So again, the kings of the earth committing fornication, the earth is waxed rich with the abundancy of the delicacies. Again, all identifies with the corporate church that has waxed rich with the through the abundance of her delicacies. So we see again a picture of the corporate body in view with this word earth. Last place, Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. "And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the families," or the nations. The word nations really is the word families. Deceive the families, the denominations, the churches, each church throughout, nations, families, "which are in the four quarters of the earth." Number four, universal, earth identifying with the church. This is a universal thing that's in view. "Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about," and the breadth of the church, ultimately, the corporate body. They've compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, the body of Christ. "And fire came down from God," judgment, "fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." They've been devoured by the judgment of false gospels. They've been devoured by the teaching of another Jesus, another gospel, the flood of false doctrines. So fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." All right, I think we looked at just about every place in the book of Revelation now where the word earth is in view, and I think we could agree that it is a very strong picture of the corporate church constantly that is in view here. I'm looking at the clock. I do want to look at the word earthquake because it identifies with the earth, and it identifies with a certain time period. The timing of the great earthquake, we read, for instance, this timing in Revelation 11, which we did read up a little early, but we'll read these verses again. 11, verse 11, "And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life, the pumanazo from God, entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, declared the gospel as they departed out, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Some responded, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." So God is identifying this time period with the second woe. The second woe is the sixth trumpet. That's the removing of the candlestick. Come up. We see the language of to be ascended up to heaven in a cloud. But God says the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. So the earthquake is being identified with the time period of the body of Christ being removed. So in our next study, we're going to look at the word earthquake, and we're going to see the spiritual picture here of the word earthquake, and get some more information. The earth shook and trembled. We're going to see that kind of language, and that there was a shaking of kingdoms, a great earthquake, a great shaking in the land of Israel. And this is the time of judgment, and the greatest judgment, of course, is removing the candlestick, because that's the beginning of a warning we read in Revelation chapter 2 to the seven churches. Return unto your first love, or I will remove your candlestick. I'm going to remove the light of the gospel. I'm going to remove Christ from you. That's the warning. Alright, so let's end it down now, because it is just about an hour, and we'll pick back up on this earthquake in our next study, either on the Lord's Day or on next Thursday. Probably be on the Lord's Day. We'll pick up on this in the afternoon. All right. If anybody has anything to add to these things, or any corrections that could be made, or any questions, feel free to raise your hand or pick up the mic.